of this church, and I want to pay tribute to that. He's come off the back of a very busy week as we have had the Life exhibition here, but it is true that he is going on holiday. So we've worked him hard today, but Neil's going to come and speak to us. And then after that, Benjamin and Andy are also going to say a few words before I come back up again. Just to say that, oh, come to the altar, Ben. He chose that one, Lion and the Lamb, that was chosen by Andy. Over to you, Neil.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. Okay, we are awake. We're here. It's a real privilege just to have the opportunity to speak this evening. As Ian said, I have known Benji for many years now. I could share a lot of stories here tonight. I have lots of incriminating photos, but I have kept them off the presentation tonight, and Andy as well over the past few years. So it's a real privilege to be here tonight and to speak at your baptism. Now, tonight I want to think about faith. The faith of Andy and of Benjamin. We're going to look at that in a wee while as well. But I'm sure a lot of us here tonight could put their hands up and say that, yes, they have faith. Who here has faith? Okay, brilliant. Okay, don't be shy. Okay, lots of people here have faith. Okay, Patrick, come on up to the front. You're a man of faith. Okay, he's regretting putting his hand up now. Now, I want to try something here. Don't worry, I'm not going to push you into the tank or anything. We'll come over this side. So Patrick is saying that he has faith. I want to try a wee experiment. In my bag, I've got a few things here tonight. I've got a plastic bag, okay? I've got some water. It's not water out of the tank, okay? And I've got some pencils, okay? Now, I'm going to try a wee experiment here. So Patrick, if you can hold this plastic bag for me. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to fill it with water, and then I'm going to seal it over. So make sure it's a plastic bag, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not magical about it or anything like that. I've got some water here, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pour, stand over here a wee bit. I'm going to pour the water into this bag, okay? Everyone can see the water going in? Actually, there's a hole in that bag. Patrick's just spotted that. I was just testing you there. Don't worry, I have another bag here, Patrick. Let me see. There we go. You'd have been complaining to Tesco's there. Okay, let's try that again. Okay. So, hold that one. Does that look okay?
Yeah.
It looks okay. That's passed quality control check. Okay, so you can see the water going into the bag. Okay. Make sure I get all the water in there. Okay, I want you to seal that up for me. Okay, so pull it across. Make sure it's sealed. Okay, so you're happy that is secure?
Yeah.
Okay, there's water in this bag. What I want you to do is, I want you to hold it above your head. And I've got some pencils here. And I wouldn't ask if you have enough faith for someone like Jack to come up and stick the pencils through the bag. But do you have faith that I can stick these pencils through the bag and you will stay dry? No? Okay, well, I'm doubting myself as well. So I've brought, I think the screen's just gone off there. I've got this here with me, okay, so a wee shower cap to put on. I don't want him wrecking his hair or anything, okay, so he's spent a bit of time tonight, okay, fixing his hair. So hold the bag up above your head, okay. Now I'm going to stick these pencils. Hopefully this is going to work, okay. So try a wee bit, you're a bit taller than me, okay. Turn sideways, everyone see that's going right through? Still have faith for another pencil to go through?
Yeah.
Okay, right, okay, there we go. We'll stop there, okay, we'll put that one down. Now, it was quite a small bag, okay, so here's one I prepared earlier. So there's a lot more water in this one, so I want you to hold that above your head, okay, it's going to be a bit heavier. Don't worry, I've got plenty of pencils. Do you still have faith that I can stick the pencils through and Patrick will stay dry? Yes, Patrick, do you? You're looking a wee bit worried now, okay. Let's see. Okay. Ooh. There's a lot further for these pencils to go through. Okay. We'll try another one. Okay. Do you think I could try a third?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Let's see. Turn sideways. Okay, give Patrick a round of applause. Okay, brilliant. Thanks, Patrick. Has the projector gone off completely? Okay, let me just try this again. Okay. Okay. So we're thinking about faith, and Patrick was a young man of faith who came up to the front here. I want to look at a story in the Bible where we see faith in action, and it's found in Matthew, and it's a story of Jesus walking on the water. And I love this passage. It's really well known. But just before this has happened, Jesus has fed 5,000 people, and he sends the disciples on the boat out onto the lake while Jesus heads up onto the mountain to pray. I'm just going to read this passage together. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come walking to you on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked in the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and he grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" Then they climbed back into the boat. The wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. It's a really well-known story, a really well-known passage. And I love this story because in it we see the faith of Peter to get out of the boat. And the disciples are there. Jesus has sent them on, out on the boat, into the lake while he's gone to pray. And they're there, and these are seasoned fishermen, okay? They're used to being out on the sea. And all of a sudden, the sea gets a wee bit rocky. The winds pick up. The waves are crashing over the side of the boat. And they are terrified there in fear for their lives. And as they're on the boat, struggling, panicking, wondering what to do, they see out in the distance someone coming towards them on the water. And they think it's a ghost. And as the person gets closer, we know it's Jesus. He says, "Don't be afraid, it is me." And I love Peter's response. Peter is usually known for jumping in with both feet, sort of not thinking before he acts. And Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come out to you on the water." And we know the story, how Peter, he gets over the side of the boat. And there's a few years ago, there was a book called "If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat." It was written by a man called John Ortberg. And I want to read just a wee section from that book. It says, "I want you to put yourself in the story. Picture in your mind how violent the storm must have been, if it was strong enough to keep seasoned professionals struggling just to avoid being capsized. Imagine the size of the waves, the strength of the wind, and the darkness of the night. These are the conditions in which Peter was getting out of the boat. It would be tough enough to try and walk on water when the water is calm, the sun is bright, and the air is still. Imagine trying to do it when the waves are crashing, the wind is at gale force, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're terrified. Put yourself in Peter's place for a moment. You have a sudden insight into what Jesus is doing. The Lord is passing by. He's inviting you to go on an adventure of your life. But at the same time, you're scared to death. What would you choose, the water or the boat? The boat is safe, it's secure, it's comfortable. On the other hand, the water is rough, the waves are high, the wind is strong, there's a storm out there. And if you get out of the boat, whatever your boat might be, there's a good chance you're going to sink. But if you don't get out of the boat, there's a guaranteed certainty that you will never walk on the water. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. I believe there is something, someone inside us who tells us there's more to life than sitting in the boat. You were made for something more than merely avoiding failure. There is something inside you that wants to walk on water, to leave the comfort of routine, existence, and abandon yourself to the high adventure of following God. In this story, Peter, he gets bad press, doesn't he? Because he starts to sink. But I love the fact that Peter actually gets over the side of the boat. you know, what do you say about the other 11 who were still sitting in there, terrified, afraid for their life? Peter goes over the side of the boat. If we want to walk on water, we need to step out of the boat, out of our comfort zones, to take chances just like Peter. But we need to remember that we always need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. And at the end of the story, we see the response of the disciples. After Peter gets out, he starts to sink and he cries out to Jesus. And Jesus reaches out and he pulls him back up. And guess what? Peter and Jesus walk on water back into the boat. Peter gets to walk on water. And whenever they get back into the boat, we read this: "You really are the Son of God." They worship Jesus for what they have, well, for what he has done and for what they have just seen. And tonight we're thinking about faith. We see the faith of Peter. I want to think a little bit tonight about the faith of these two young guys, of Benjamin and of Andy. Tonight we're here to witness their faith as they are going to get baptized. I was nice with the photos. I was showing them a few others. I was going to fire up, but I wasn't going to be that cruel. But we are here tonight to witness their baptism, because these are young men of faith who have decided to follow Jesus, and in obedience to Jesus, they are getting baptized. I've seen the faith of these two guys. I witnessed them getting out of the boat, out of their comfort zone, to follow Jesus and the call that he has on their life. They've already stepped out of the boat in faith. And as I had the privilege last summer of leading them on an Exodus team, serving alongside them, seeing them step out of the boat in the faith to follow Jesus. On team last year, witnessing them leading, serving, speaking at the front in an arena like this to, you know, a lot of children and young people, stepping out of the boat, stepping out of their comfort zone to win boys and girls for Jesus. At that camp, they were involved in small groups where children came to faith, where children trusted in Jesus, whose lives were changed forever because of the faith of these two young men. At Crossroads this summer, where as churches in Finicky, we became one church to serve the community. These guys were involved serving the children and young people in this community. They were involved again in small group discussions, answering big questions that 8, 9, 10-year-olds, roughly 8, 9, 10-year-olds were asking, and having the privilege of being able to answer simply about how they could have a faith in Jesus. And from that, children gave their lives to Jesus because of these two young men, because of their faith, stepping out of the boat and sharing it with other people. In school, I've heard stories, that environment where it's difficult, where everyone is trying to pull you away in one direction, where your friends are maybe doing something and you know as a Christian you shouldn't be doing it. Taking a stand to say, you know what, I'm a Christian, I've decided to follow Jesus and I'm not going to go along and do that thing. It is difficult. Out of the boat is difficult. Out of our comfort zone, whenever the world is trying to pull us in different directions, it's not easy. And these young guys are there in the middle taking a stand for Jesus. They're both very sporty guys. They get their football ability from me. Okay? They both play football at a decent level. I think they play for maybe, is it the second best or second biggest team in Belfast? Oh, they don't like that one. Okay? But as young men, as Christian guys who, on the football pitch, have to represent Jesus as they go out there, as maybe decisions aren't going their way on the football pitch, acting in a way that will glorify God, that will point other people to Jesus. Maybe when they don't get selected, their attitude to how they work hard in training to try and get back into the team. Taking a stand out of the boat. The boat's not always water. Okay, it could be wherever you're at. It could be the football pitch. It could be in the workplace. It could be school. It could be at family, in relationships. I've seen these young guys do it. And also, they're very involved with Christians in sport, and I love their motto, which is an audience of one, reminding themselves that God is the only person who matters as they play football, as their worship to him. And also, as they've shared their faith with their friends, I've heard stories, again, in school, outside of school, having conversations about Jesus and friends entering into God's family. Young men of faith stepping out of the comfort zone to follow Jesus. And tonight, they're following Jesus' example, the command of Jesus to get baptized. So why baptism? Okay, you might be asking. Okay, maybe you've been to something like this before and you understand baptism, you know what it's all about, but maybe this is the first time you've ever been at a baptism service. In order to understand the reason for being baptized, it's important to fully consider what the Bible says about it. So Jesus himself
was baptized. Jesus wasn't a sinner. He had never done anything wrong. He was the Son of God, yet he humbled himself in obedience to identify with us and to give us an example to follow. So we are following the example of Jesus. Benjamin and Andy tonight are following the example of Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, 9-11, we read these words. One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice said to him, "You are my beloved Son, and you bring me great joy." So the first reason we get baptized is because Jesus did it. And for him, it symbolized the beginning of his ministry on earth. Secondly, it's an act of faith and obedience to the commands of Jesus. Matthew 28, 16-20 says these words. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Then Jesus came and he told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given to you. And be sure of this, I am with you always to the very end of the age." And here we see Jesus telling his disciples to baptize people, to baptize other people who have put their faith, their trust in Jesus. And this is what Christians do. We're baptized as a response to what Jesus has done for us and as a public statement that we are followers of him. And it's also a public declaration. It's a public declaration tonight for Andy and for Benjamin. It declares that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. It's a public confession of your faith and commitment to Jesus Christ. But what is so special about baptism? It's just a symbol of Jesus' burial and resurrection. So our entrance into the water during baptism identifies us with Jesus' death on the cross, his burial in the tomb, and then his resurrection from the dead as they come back out of the water. So they will be coming back up, hopefully. I love the way the Message puts it in Colossians 2, 12-14. It says, "Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming out of it was a resurrection, God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ." Think of it. All sins forgiven, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant cancelled and nailed to Christ's cross. It's a symbol of new life as a Christian. We bury the old life as we rise to walk in new life. Baptism, it's an outward symbol of the commitment that you made in your heart, a commitment that has to be followed through and lived out on a daily basis. Now, it doesn't mean that Benjamin and Andrew's new life starts tonight. It started whenever they first trusted Jesus many years ago from now. Tonight, they're just publicly declaring to all of us here that they have a living faith in Jesus, that they love Jesus, that they follow Jesus. Andy and Benjamin are saying, you know, from now on, I'm going to give my all to Jesus in every area of my life, not just my Sundays, but at home, with my friends, in school, in relationships, in work, on the football pitch, my ambitions, my future. I'm giving it all over to follow Jesus, following the example of Jesus and giving their lives to follow and serve him first, the audience of one. It's a public statement to everyone who sees it of the promise that they have made between God and themselves, that they've trusted Jesus for salvation and they're committed to living for him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." There's nothing magical about the water in this tank. Later on, as Robert and I get in with Benjamin, if you only see Benjamin's head above the tank, don't worry, Robert and I aren't under the water, okay? We're still there, okay? It's just Benji's a very tall guy. But hopefully the water is warm enough. There's nothing magical about the sequence of words that will be said. There's nothing magical about the water that drips off as you come back out of the tank. Baptism, it doesn't make you a believer. It shows that you already are one. Baptism doesn't save you. Only your faith in Christ does that. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, that no one can boast." It's the public act that allows a person to say to the church, "I want to love Jesus, and I'm going to need your help." So we're standing with these guys tonight, and they're saying, we need your help. That's what church is about, community, supporting each other as a family in this family of faith. Tonight, it's also an opportunity for followers of Jesus, for those of us who have been Christians maybe for a few years or maybe for a lot longer, a reminder that we have given up our old lives, our old desires, our own ambitions, and we have said that we will take on the life that God has called us to live. So each time we see someone getting baptized, it's a reminder of this commitment that we once made to follow Jesus. And we're going to join together in this baptism tonight. Yes, it's an individual act for Benjamin and for Andy, but it's part of the life of the community of the church. And we're going to remember our own baptisms as well as we pledge to help and support these guys to continue to grow in their faith. And what we're going to do now is we're going to hear from Andy and Benjamin. They're going to share a little bit about their faith journey, a little bit about what God has been doing in their life, a little bit about what God has been teaching them. So I'm going to ask them to come up now. You can decide who wants to go first. Benjamin, okay. On you come up. Okay.
All right. So yeah, I have three big parts of my life, which are faith, football, and friends. And family's all right as well, I suppose, sometimes. But and I believe that God has intervened in each part of these. So I grew up in a Christian home, going to Sunday school, going to church, and I used to go to a little gospel meeting called Happy Hour. And I can still remember, I was only about five years old, and he told a story of two people, one was Christian and one wasn't, and they were on a boat, and the boat was sinking, and the Christian threw the life jacket to the non-Christian, even though they both couldn't swim, and the guy just really went on to talk about the Lamb's Book of Life, which is a book that your name gets written in once you become a Christian, and I can remember just 5 years old, just put my trust in him then. So that was the first time that I saw God in my life. Growing up in primary school was fine, it was great. Secondary school was okay as well. Took a wee bit of stick from my friends, but just a bit of banter, you know. I could handle it. Football is a huge part of my life, if anyone knows me. And I saw God intervene in my life then, maybe 2 years ago. And the two of my old managers are here tonight, who probably don't know this, but I was just making a decision on, you know, what team to join, and for those who don't like football, it's maybe not that big of a decision, but for me it was, and I was just praying to God one time in bed that he'd just give me a sign, that he'd just show me what team to join, and before I'd even said amen, my phone started to ring, and it was Phil, and he asked me to sign for Crusaders, so ever since I've been there, and I've really enjoyed it. Playing football is a great part of my life, as I can just show people God through on the pitch and off the pitch. I'm just giving him giving back to him the gift that he's given to me. So yeah, going through school was fine. Got the age about 15, 16, and I was at a summer camp. And Ian's here tonight as well. He was my leader there, and he really just taught me that it wasn't a religion, really. It was a relationship with God that I needed. And he just showed me what the Holy Spirit can really do. And he was given a gift from God that he could he could have pictures and stuff from God that he could tell others. And I heard that. I was like, there's no way that can happen. And one night at Teen Street, we were singing songs, and all of a sudden I got a picture, and I've never had this before. I can still remember it. There was two sides, and on the left there was darkness and a person with chains in their feet, and on the right hand side there was the cross and green grass. And Andy was with me that night, and he probably thought what was going on, but I was crying my eyes out, I was weeping, and I just didn't know what was going on, but I talked to Ian about it, and we just prayed about it and stuff, and I wasn't sure what it was, but I thought it was two things. Either I needed to let go of something out of my life to get to the cross, or I had the key to unlock someone else's chains. And going on into fourth year, I got a lot closer with Ryan, who's here tonight as well. We got chatting one time and brought him along to church, and he got saved at the weekend. And a youth weekend, and I was just sitting there one time in church, and I realized that I was the key to unlock Rand's chains to God, and that I rescued, well, not me, God, but I helped bring him to God. So that was another point that I saw God in my life. So I feel that I've grown in my faith since then, and I'm just privileged to have this church beside me, people like Neil, people like Stevie, Jack and Patty as well, and just my brother and my dad as well, even though they might not know it. They're just real good role models for me in my life. Of course, this wee mucker here, love him to bits. Yeah, he's my best friend, and we just go through everything together. I can rely on him. And he's great. But being a Christian isn't as easy as it sounds. It's quite tough, but it's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be challenging. But I'm just thankful to God for everything that he's done for me, for the cross, and for just saving me from all the sin that I've done. And yeah, I'm just happy to be here today.
Well, I mean, if anyone knows me and Benji personally, we'll know that we're very, very similar. So, I mean, we play for the same football team, we go to the same school, so I might have similarities here to Benji. So, again, I grew up in a Christian home and a Christian family. I'm very privileged that most of, if not all, my family are Christians, and that's just a really good network to have, and that really encourages me in my faith. So I grew up going to church and going to all the Bible camps, everything BB, as you can imagine, and I just remember at the age of 5, I remember knowing that I needed a saviour and I needed to ask Jesus into my heart. So I remember for a good couple of nights, I kept on asking the wee prayer you learn as a child, and I just remember asking so many times because I was like, I cannot go to hell. I will not go to hell. And so I just kept on praying. So yeah, so I've been really blessed in the way that God has, I've had no real big, what you call the big problems in life. I've had no really big deaths. I've been really blessed, and I've really felt God's presence throughout my life. So yeah, just like Benji, I went through primary school. Everything was grand. I was loving life. I was playing football. Then got into secondary school, and you know, life gets a bit tougher as we all grow up. And as Benji was talking about, went to this Christian camp called Teen Street in Germany, which is basically a good 4,000, 5,000 people that like all get together and we all worship God. And you come out with that camp thinking God has to be real. Like there was no doubt in my mind that God is real. So whenever going to Teen Street, I've been 4 times, I think going to the second time, I was really struggling with just some sin that I'd done in my life and just some of these sins that I could not break the chains of, and I was really feeling way down by it. So you have a small group with your small group's leader and a couple of other guys, and we're going through Romans 6, and there's just a couple of verses that were read out, and I didn't really think much about them. I had the attitude, I've been a Christian since I was a little boy. I knew everything about Jesus. I knew Jesus died on the cross. I don't need to know anything more. I've got life sussed out here. But then in a later meeting, these verses got read out again, and it hit me like a bus. I just started crying, and I didn't know what was happening, but these verses just hit me. So I'm just going to read them out. It's Romans 6, 12 to 14. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with the old way of your life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny anymore. You're living in the freedom of God. And once I heard that, I felt that like I was born again. I felt as if all my sin had gone, and that was just a really big experience for me. In school, Benji would tell you, where it's hard, sometimes hard to be a Christian. You get the little bit of banter, the little bit of slagging off, and you can take that, and you can, but sometimes it is hard. But just a quote that really helps me through is, if you're insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of God and because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And that just really helps me that if it's almost a pleasure to be slagged off, if that makes sense, because that means that they know that you're living for Christ and you're living for God. So as Benji says, and as we've been saying, I play football quite a bit, and I really love it, and I've got a really desire to win. I want to win all the time, but being a Christian, sometimes you've got to recognise that you can't win all the time, and that you're not winning to win trophies or to score the best goal, that you're doing it for Christ. You're doing it, it's audience of one. So another just quote that helps me is, being a Christian athlete means competing for Christ, always giving your all for him. Win or lose, you thank him for the opportunity and ability to play. It means giving all the glory to God, no matter what the outcome is, because you trust his plan for you. Yeah, so that's how I'm just really looking at a point in my life now where I'm trying to be intentional with people, and I'm trying to be intentional and trying to get other people's into the kingdom of God, because that's what we're on this earth for. So I believe as the believers of the truth, and the only truth that will ever matter in the grand scheme of things, why do we put other things that will wear off and fail to satisfy before the truth that can save people's life for the whole of eternity? So why do we put other things that are going to, when the world ends, they're going to die, they're going to rust away, why do we put that in front of saving people's souls that will live on for eternity? And then just the last quote I want to finish with that really helps me is, love God with all your heart and then go out and do whatever you want. Because if you love God with all your heart, you won't want to do certain things.
Fantastic. What an encouragement. What a challenge to us this evening. And what a credit to your parents as well, who I know are extremely proud of you. So what I want us to do is Stevie McIntosh is going to come and pray. And then after that, I'm going to get, if you come up, Stevie, the band and to come up. And again, tile holders into place. But let's let Stevie pray, and then we'll get folk to move after that. Thanks, Stevie.
Father, I just want to bring before Andy and Benji, before you, and I just thank you for everything that you've done in their lives so far, that you brought them out of darkness and you brought them into light. And I just thank you that wasn't the end, that you've worked so far in their life, growing, just letting them grow through you and serving you. And we at Bethany have seen that, whether it be through Exodus teams or whether it's SISM teams up north or here in Finnegy. And I just thank you for tonight, that this is a night of celebration of their declaration of faith, that although they've shown it in school and so far, that this is a continuation, that you're not finished with them yet, that their life is worth so much more, and it's got so much more to give, and so much more to shine for you, to reach the people that haven't even heard of it yet, and haven't heard of you, Father. So I just thank you for tonight, that we can celebrate with them together, and that it's a great time to fellowship. I pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks, Stevie. Maybe if the band can come up, and we'll ask Neil and Robert to come into the tank. And Andy, I think you're first up. But Robert, if you and Neil want to come through. After Andy has been baptized, Andy, do you want to come up as well? After Andy has been baptized, we're going to sing O Praise the Name. And then Benji will come forward after that. So, thank you.
Okay, I'm just going to read those verses again. I'd asked Andy about sharing a verse. And just Romans 6, 12 to 14 again. So just listen to these words just for you. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Andrew Gordon, on confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your Lord and Saviour, and at your own request, we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Jesus said, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross every day and follow me." Benjamin Hendren, on the confession of your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord, and at your own request, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
I'm sure some of that applause was for Neil and for Robert, making sure that Benjamin came back up out of the tank. There was a trial run earlier on, and he was told, "Bend your knees, or else you're too long for the tank." Fantastic. We're going to praise God. You're very welcome after we've finished. I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to sing. And then you're very welcome to stay, chat, and I think there's some tea and coffee down the side as well. You'd be very welcome to stay for us. Let's just pray together, and then we'll sing Praises Rising and stand to sing that. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be here and to witness these guys standing for you. Would you put your blessing upon them and their life and their families as they walk forward in you, and may they continue to be, as they already are, a witness for you and a challenge to us all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Let's stand as we sing Praise Rising.